The Bottomless Pit by Bill True. Episode 5, Alley-Oop. July 27th, 1977. Dear Journal. Okay, you're going to think I really weenied out on you by not writing for so many days. Well, I had a good reason. It took some fancy footwork, none of it very honest, but I was able to withdraw $275 from my savings. That, I found out, was more than enough money to get all of the backpacks and other supplies Paul, Andrew, and me needed for our expedition. Actually, I even got to put a few dollars back. Not that I guess I'll ever need it. So, I've been the busiest I've ever been, trying to get this stuff bought and doing chores and not getting caught, but it's all been worth it. Know why? Guess where I am. Yep, sitting beside the hole, all packed up and ready to go. Paul is here, so is Raylene. Even Andrew is here, even though we all had to really work on him to get him out here. He probably should have just told us to go fly a kite, but it all worked out, which is good because right now, as I'm writing this, my dad's in town because the tractor part came in. It was now or never. I called everyone yesterday and told them to get the heck out here. And here we are. To throw our parents off the scent, Raylene had this idea so no one suddenly got a big search party together to try to find us, like they did for Jesse Worthington when some guy grabbed him in Steele County last summer. We wrote letters to our moms and dads saying we were running away, that we were all together and headed out of state. We're safe and don't try to find us. She said keep it short and sweet. I don't know how she got Andrew to do that and leave it on his pillow for his mom and dad to find out. I'm afraid to ask. But I guess it doesn't matter now. Everyone's getting their backpacks on. Raylene's helping Andrew as Paul takes over from Raylene and me the job of nagging Andrew into actually jumping into the hole. Unfortunately, it's not going... Whoops! Hold on! Oh my gosh! I can't believe it! Raylene just bumped Andrew into the hole! He fell into the crater, through the opening, and into the pit. I hollered at her, "What did you do that for?" All she did was look at me and say, "Time's a-wastin'." Then she jumped in herself. Yikes, two down. I look at Paul and he looks at me. We both kind of sigh, then he kind of grins and says something like, "See you on the other side." And he jumps in. It goes that fast. And I'm the last one left. I can hear Andrew screaming at the top of his lungs, though it's getting fainter. I can hear hoots and hollers from Paul and Raylene, who seem to be having a fine old time. And I hear both of them yelling to Andrew, "Just shut up." I sit there a moment longer. Am I afraid? Maybe. I sure don't want to die or anything. I mean, what if I'm wrong? What if this pit isn't so bottomless? Well, then all my friends just jumped in and now they'll die. Or what if we don't find anything down there? What if the lady really is just a figment of my imagination? What if my dreaming just got everybody killed? Or what if there's nothing down there but more hole? Forever and ever, and we don't have any way to get out. Then we'll starve to death. But I sit here, and I look down at my dad's flashlight in my hands. Yep, I decided, what the heck, I'd nab it and take it with me. It's not like I can get into any more trouble now. Anyways, I'm looking at it, and I'm hearing the others falling, and I think it's going to be okay. Then I look around, and suddenly a weird thought comes over me. I probably will never see this place again in my life, and neither will the others. Then I'm kind of caught between two thoughts. One, what have I done? No wonder Andrew didn't want to go, and I probably shouldn't have forced him to do it. His parents will be sick, thinking he ran away and never knowing what happened to him. And two, I actually think about my own parents, and how I kind of wish I could see them just one more time. Weird, huh? I mean, all I've been able to think about for so long is getting away. Now, all of a sudden, when I'm really getting away, I get this feeling like I wish I was home instead and hugging my mom and dad, even though in real life, we don't do that much after Brian and all. I wipe all that away from my mind. This was my big idea and I have to. No, I want to. I need to see it through. Now I'm standing at the mouth of the hole and it's time to begin my adventure. And what an adventure it's gonna be. If I never make it back, I'll try to find a way to get this journal back up here so that the world will have proof that this bottomless pit is real. And also that a group of kids discovered it and jumped in to explore it and help the lady and saw things no other human on Earth ever saw. Okay, here I go. Wish me luck. Alley-oop! July 27th, 1977, entry number 2. Dear Journal. Wow. Here I am, still alive, and guess where I am writing to you from right now. You got it. I am actually inside the bottomless pit. And I mean, I was right. Even Andrew's a believer, I think, except he won't say so. Well, actually, he won't talk at all right now, but I'll tell you more about that later. Raylene, Paul, and I are excited out of our wits. This is so cool. We are having the time of our lives. Anyway, I should start at the beginning. So I jump in. It's not an easy thing to do because you've got these thoughts racing through your brain like, I'm gonna die. This is crazy. What am I doing? Don't do it. And you just have to close your eyes, take a deep breath, and make the leap. And when you do, your heart's racing. You're so scared, you think you could just pee your pants because you don't know what's going to happen to you, and you just don't have anything to say about it anymore if something bad did happen. Finally, after a few seconds of not dying, you open your eyes and dare to look up. And there it is, the mouth of the hole you just jumped into, getting smaller and smaller, zooming away from you. And you see the sky overhead and the branches and stuff, and it's all getting littler and blurrier, almost like that was all a dream. And the way you feel, like you're on some elevator gone mad. It starts with this tingly feeling in your toes. Then the feeling works its way up and jumps around in your belly for a while, making you feel kind of cool and queasy all at the same time. Then it eventually moves up farther into your chest, then shoots down your arms and into your hands, and they feel like they're all electric. Finally, when it hits your head, it's kind of like that dizzy, kind of winded feeling you get when you stand up too fast. Your eyesight dims and stars appear in front of you, and for a bit, you feel like you might want to pass out, which is kind of scary. You don't know what to do other than watch that world you just left fade away. And on one hand, you're tweaked a little because, you know, it's strange to think that you're leaving it maybe forever. But it's too late now because your only choice right now is to keep falling. And all of the jumble of emotions and sensations mix all up together into one big feeling. So, after all this, my ears prick up. I can hear the others' voices. It's faint with no echo whatsoever. Weird, I think. I thought it would be more echoey in here, but it's not. Andrew's still screaming, actually kind of bawling, and a little pitiful because you can tell he's getting hoarse in the throat. When Raylene and Paul are trying to settle him down, they're yelling up to me, telling me to get the heck down there by them! I fumble with my pack so I can get my flashlight. I struggle because I'm afraid to take the pack off in case it falls. I mean, with the flashlight, not again, right? It took me a couple of seconds, but then it dawns on me. Wait, how can my backpack fall? It's already falling. It's not like it was going to fall any faster because I was already falling too. So I decide it's not going to hurt anything if I just take my pack off and get my flashlight like normal. Paul and Raylene keep calling, even louder and more antsy now. Just hold on, I call out as I get my hands on my flashlight. I turn it on and flash it down toward them. I can't even see them with the flashlight. By the way, by now, it's pitch black in here. Any sunlight coming down the hole is long gone. I get scared and panic, and I start thinking, I'm all alone in the dark, and I'm never going to catch up with those guys, and I'm going to be alone forever. Now I feel like screaming just like Andrew. Then, finally, as my eyes really adjust to the darkness, I look down and see two tiny specks of light waving around, probably trying to find me. Next, I'm thinking, crap, I gotta find a way to catch up to those guys. I think for a bit, wondering how the heck they caught up with each other. I mean, it's not like they jumped in at the exact same time. I call down the question. I was already close to Andrew and Paul threw down a rope. I reeled him in. That was Raylene. I think I'm too far for a rope, I yell back. Now I try to figure something out. I shine my flashlight ahead of me for the first time and I see the wall of the pit. The hole had really widened out, and it seemed like it was about 100 feet from one side to the other. And boy, I'm going fast. The walls were a blur, like when you're looking out the window of a car at the grass growing on the side of the road, only blurrier even. Man, I tried to think of a couple of ways I could use the walls to help me go faster, but I wasn't sure how I could. For one thing, I was smack dab in the middle of the pit, and I had no idea how I could make my way over to the side. I wasn't even sure what I could do, even if I did make my way there. I couldn't push myself off the wall and go faster. I was afraid to even touch the wall because I might rip my fingers or my hands right off or something. I'm stuck. I can't get down there. I waited for them to answer. It took a little bit. I guess they were bouncing ideas around. One thing I noticed, though, was that for the first time since we had jumped in, it was quiet. Andrew had settled down, at least. That was getting on my nerves way up here. I could only imagine it was probably driving the other guys completely crazy down there. Finally, I hear, "You shouldn't have waited so long to jump in!" That was Paul. I knew it. Boy, did I want to crack him across the chops just then. It's probably good that he was out of reach. I was just about to really let him have it. I mean, really give him a piece of my mind, when all of a sudden, someone, I think it's Andrew, screams. Then, nothing. Oh my gosh, that's all I keep saying to myself over and over again. I shine my flashlight down there, afraid of what I might see. Even worse, afraid of what might be waiting for me, but I can't see anything. Guys? Then louder, I call, almost screaming myself, "Guys! Guys!" My heart is trying to leap out of my chest. I'm certain they hit bottom, and I'm going to die at any second. And I close my eyes tight, and I brace myself for the hit. Then finally, someone calls back, "We're slowing down!" What? No way, I think. But at the same time, their voices do sound closer. So I look again with my flashlight, and sure enough, I can see them. They're itty-bitty small, but they're getting bigger each second. "Are you stopped?" I ask them. I don't even have to yell now. "No, just slower," Raylene answers. "It's weird, like we hit a slow pocket of air. We're still going down, though." Now I'm about 100 feet or so away from them. And sure enough, I slow down too. No wonder they got scared, because it felt like my stomach was trying to slam up into my chest. I almost puked. But now I'm about 50 or so feet away from those guys. But I'm also not getting any closer. "You slowing down more?" I asked, just to check. "Uh-uh," Paul said, shaking his head. "Let me throw down a rope then," I said, thinking back to what they told me about how Paul caught up with them. So I quickly grabbed my rope off my backpack and uncoiled it. I threw it down with all my might. Paul grabbed it. "Okay, hold on tight. I'm coming down," I said. "He's got you," Raylene calls back up to me. I pull myself down toward the others, hand over hand. I'm only about 25 feet away from them when I hear more screaming. "The guys are moving away from me again." I think out loud, "What's up?" The answer comes back in a breathless single word. "Falling!" Oh my gosh, I don't want to lose them again. By the time I start falling faster, which should be any second, we could have lost all of the distance we made up if Paul loses his grip on that rope. "Hang on to that rope, tight!" I grip my end too, wrapping it around my arms a couple of times to be on the safe side. Suddenly, I'm jerked hard as the rope pulls tight. My arms are nearly pulled out of their shoulder sockets, but I hang on. I'm glad Paul doesn't lose his grip. I learned later that he had tied the rope around his waist. He still has a bruise from it. Now, in a flash, I'm falling at full steam ahead again. Okay, now I have to tell you something. As I'm pulling myself toward the others, I hear something, like dragging sandpaper over wood in a long, slow stroke. I quickly look up, but without my flashlight, I can't see too well. But what I do see shocks and scares me. I mean, I could be wrong, but I swear I see a part of the wall move. Then, when it stops moving, that part of the wall seems lighter, almost like I was seeing through some hole in the wall, some dim, really dim light shining through from the other side. I don't know. I still can't figure it out. And the guys think I'm crazy and that I was seeing things. To tell the truth, I could be crazy. Everything I just told you happened in about 2 or 3 seconds. Then again, like I said to the others, how does that explain the noise I heard? And what about the sudden slowdown? Does that make any more sense? Sure, a moving wall seems a little out there, but nothing about this place really makes sense. It's all out there. And about now, I'd believe anything is possible. Pretty weird, huh? But pretty cool, too. Well, the part that wasn't cool is the part that happened next. I finally made my way down to the others. I was so happy, I gave Raylene a big hug. And it was kind of strange because, I don't know, I just never hugged anyone so hard before. But it felt really good. And we hugged for a long time until I could feel tears coming up in my eyes. Well, I didn't want to start bawling in front of everyone, so I pulled away and just smiled. And for good measure, I even gave Paul a quick hug. but when it came to Andrew, here it was a completely different story. As soon as I let go of Paul and turned toward him, Andrew exploded. He started wailing on me. His arms and legs were flying. It hurt really bad, and he wouldn't stop. Remember my story about the snow mountain? Well, that was nothing compared to what Andrew was dishing on me now. And he was screaming at me and yelling at me, but I couldn't understand what he was saying. Something had to give. I could feel bruises welling up after he caught me once or twice in the eye. I was in for a shiner for sure. I didn't know what to do. I didn't want to hit him. Well, actually, I did want to hit him back. I was getting mad, but I was too busy trying to protect myself. All I could do is yell, "Stop!" and knock it off. Finally, Paul and Raylene worked their way behind him and grabbed him. Paul grabbed one arm and Raylene locked the other one behind his head in a half Nelson. "What the heck are you doing?" I screamed at him. "I hate you," he bellowed back. "I hate you. I hate you. This was your stupid idea, and now we're all going to die, and I'll never see my family again. I could be home. I could be safe at home. My mom and dad, do you know what you've done? You no-account, brainless dolt. You have ruined my life." And then his body went limp, and he broke down and cried. Paul and Raylene held on to him for a little bit just to make sure he didn't go off again. But it was obvious that Andrew was all raged out, and all that was left was sadness and loss. And at that moment, I thought about the seconds before I jumped into the pit. I looked at Andrew, and then I wanted to cry myself. But I was still in shock, kind of, but still kind of hurt too. I mean, I said to myself, it really is just like I always thought. Andrew really did think I was a dummy. And then I felt like I wanted to cry again because I felt betrayed. I mean, he's pretended to be my friend, when all along he's been a two-faced liar. Well, you know what? He can say anything he wants to, but I was right this time. I figured out something that he couldn't, and now he's sore at me? And I look at Paul, and he's got this kind of sheepish look in his face, and I know he's been in cahoots with Andrew before, yucking it up about what a dork I am. But at least Paul was coming around a little. He knows I was right. At least I think he does. But at that moment, I forced myself to settle down and not cry. "Just wait," I said to myself. "I'll show Andrew. And I will show him. He'll come around and not only see I was right, but he'll also appreciate what I've done for him in the end." So there was no sense in being hurt. No sense in being mad, I guess. "Let him go, guys," I told the others. And they did. After that, we were all kind of lost in our own thoughts. We stayed that way until, I don't know, for a while. I'm wondering how Andrew cannot feel like this is the best and coolest adventure he's had in his entire life. Like, we're really doing something awesome and spectacular here. When I look at him, he's stone-faced, staring blank into the darkness. He's got to come around and get it. Like I said before, I'll show him. He'll see. I hope so, at least. Anyway, after Raylene and Paul and me were just too excited to keep it in anymore. I mean, we're here! And when it all started sinking in, we started hooting and hollering and even hugging each other again. I mean, this is so tremendously cool! And Paul just saying over and over again, "I knew it, I knew it," and me saying, "Was I right or was I right?" And Paul and Raylene nodding their heads and big goofy nods up and down, and me doing it too, and all of us laughing again. And even Andrew, silent as he is and glaring at us, he knows it too. We've done it. We're in for the time of our lives. And when I look at him, I become more and more sure he'll come around. And then I turn back to Paul and Raylene and just whoop and laugh and hoot and hug some more, because here we are! Anyway, so that's it so far. Right here from inside the bottomless pit. Even as I write the words, I can't believe it. It seems too good to be true, and I don't know, it's just really neat. Inside the bottomless pit. I'm saying it to myself as I write, mouthing it soft and letting it roll around there in my head, and boy, I could just say it forever. Can you believe it? So, there you have it. That's all for now. More to come. You have been listening to the Bottomless Pit podcast, created by Bill True. Don't forget to subscribe to this podcast and also look for us on Facebook and Twitter. See you next time inside the Bottomless Pit.